For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Just a little over 30 days, we're going to get our vote on and have the November elections. And somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, somebody's going to celebrate, somebody's going to cry. And then we get ready to do it all over again in 2024. Hey, I'm Mike Ferguson. Good morning. Thanks for making News Talk STL part of your day. At 7:35, we're going to hear from Mark Montavani. He is challenging Sam Page in what I think is the most important vote in the St. Louis region come November. Yes, Amendment 3 is important. The other amendments are important. The U.S. Senate race is important. Illinois, friends, your race for governor, it's all very important. But when it comes to the effect on the St. Louis region itself, I just don't see how any other race is more important than this. So 7:35, we're going to hear from Mark Montavani. We had a really good conversation yesterday with Sharon Watson from the American Red Cross, the St. Louis offices. There are St. Louisans in Florida right now, specially trained volunteers who are helping and being a part of that Hurricane Ian relief. Here is what they are doing from Sharon Watson. We need to, I think, mentally brace ourselves, emotionally brace ourselves over the next few weeks, probably, with the level of devastation that Hurricane Ian has brought to Florida, to a much lesser degree, South Carolina. You know, there's some other areas that had bad storms, but during the Category 4 phase of this, almost Category 5, damage is just immense. I think a lot of people just are having trouble putting their mind right. And I say we need to brace ourselves because we're probably going to get a stream of bad news as far as the fatalities, as far as businesses destroyed, as far as, you know, medical services disrupted. There's actually one connecting bridge between Fort Myers and, what's the name of this town? Because I used to drive there, Cape Coral. The bridge was like a 30 or 40 foot part of it just wiped away. I mean, concrete bridge. I've driven over it many times. We've got a lot of St. Louisans who are there.
Right.
They are trained through the Red Cross, and they're going to be more likely deployed this week. And Sharon Watson from the St. Louis Regional Red Cross office is with us right now. And Sharon, appreciate you being on the program. First of all, how many of your volunteers, local volunteers, St. Louis volunteers, have already been sent to Florida, and what are they actually doing?
We currently have 14 people on the ground. We sent a team of two drivers down with an emergency response vehicle last week, and the rest flew down. They are helping with sheltering and with planning, with a lot of the logistics of making sure people are in the right place and getting what they need and getting the support from the Red Cross.
So we're talking just basic life stuff, like immediate, nothing fancy, just roof over your head, food in your stomach kind of stuff.
Exactly. That's what the Red Cross's primary focus is. Our focus is to make sure people have a place to stay. They can come in, get food, water, charge up their cell phones, and, you know, be able to try to start figuring out their next steps, but really just to have that immediate place to go for safety.
That's awesome, Sharon. This is Ken. The people that you've sent down there, are they trained for all of this? Are they just volunteers, or what's their situation?
Yes, they are volunteers who are trained prior to going with many hours of training and also teamed up with people who've done this before and have experience with it as well. And so working in a shelter, of course, can be quite challenging. You're dealing with people's emotional needs, their physical needs, a lot of things. So they're there to help people with things like trying to replace their eyeglasses or get a CPAP machine for the night or replace wheelchairs and other medical equipment. So we have disaster health workers there helping. We have mental health workers, too, that come in to support with some of those mental health needs. So definitely a challenging situation that they're walking into. And even if they're there on a mobile feeding vehicle handing out food, you know, they're still hearing those stories of people who are really distressed and just trying to have a listening ear and try to figure out where to go next.
Okay, I want to get to what's next just ahead here in a second. But first, let me do a sidebar real quick, Sharon, because, you know, I have heard from so many relief agencies, nonprofit and governmental sector as well, who have said the same thing. And this is one of the things that a lot of people don't realize. There's sometimes what's called the second disaster. And that's really well-meaning people
who just say, oh my gosh, look what happened. I'm going there to help out. And they show up and say, put me to work. Let me do something. And they're not trained and they don't know they're coming. And then you end up having to take care of them. So what we're talking about with Red Cross volunteers are people who have gone through training, know what they're doing. They're prepared for this. You know, you knew they were going down. And so this is the effective way. So if somebody says, I really, really, really want to help, let me do something, but they're not trained, the best thing they can do is probably financial support at this point, I would think, Sharon. Is that right?
That was absolutely right. Yes, financial support is the best support for immediately helping out to be able to ensure that we're able to continue providing that daily support and immediate needs. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to redcross.org to donate. You can also text to donate as well if you text Red Cross or at 90999. Or if you want it to go directly to Ian, you can text Ian to 90999, and that'll get a $10 donation to the Red Cross.
Okay, so, and I know Ken's got something else here, but let me ask then, what is still ahead? Like, will there be more St. Louisans being deployed to Florida?
Yes, we will continue to deploy more of our St. Louis area individuals who are on a waiting list, just waiting to get the call. We know that a lot of that just depends on what the needs are in Florida in the coming days, but we would anticipate more people to be going down to support the needs. There's also disaster assessment needs that they look to us for, to go out and kind of do general disaster assessments to determine all of the damage across the state and just help with the continued need for, of course, feeding and sheltering.
I was going to ask that same question, but that's okay. Now, Sharon, you have this big event here going down to Florida, but are there any things, other things that the St. Louis area, American Red Cross is working on, here or outside of St. Louis right now in addition to Florida?
Yes, we actually have 5 individuals in Puerto Rico still for the hurricane there, and that number has dwindled quite a lot. We did have a significant number down there, and we had people out in the wildfires, but a lot of those teams have transitioned back home and are getting prepared to go to Florida over the next several weeks. Our teams go in for 2 weeks, and then they are relieved, and somebody else comes in behind them.
We are visiting with Sharon Watson from the St. Louis, the regional offices of the Red Cross. And Sharon, before we go here in a few minutes, I want to make sure that we give out all that information again as far as, if they want to make a donation. And also the next question, though, is if people see the work that's being done, you see, the devastation that's happening. There's a lot of people say, I should be doing something. If they want to be involved and they want to be ready for the next disaster, and there will be a next disaster, it could be weeks away, it could be years away, but there will be another one at some point. If they say, I want to be available to do something like that, what does that process look like?
It basically is going to our website at redcross.org and signing up as a volunteer. They can basically, once they sign up, then the local office will be in touch with them and work with them on exactly what they want to do if they don't have an idea exactly what they want to do. And there are so many different things that you can do, even remote positions to help in the Red Cross. So it really depends on what your skill set is and what your preference is, what you want trained on to be able to join the Red Cross. And we'll get you set up and get you out there.
And Sharon, I know you'll accept anyone to take them through the process at first, at least. Is there an expertise that you're really looking for, though?
One of the things that we really need is people to drive our emergency response vehicles to Florida. And so that involves driving, just a larger size van. It's not a significant vehicle, but it's just training for that and then doing the mobile feeding. We also are in need of disaster health workers. So people who have a health expertise or mental health expertise, we're always looking for them to help out in situations like this. And then individuals who are just willing to, work in a setting where you might be dealing with a lot of chaos sometimes. So it's not always that way, but certainly it can be.
Sharon, there's probably a lot of people say, yeah, but that's what the government's for. That's what the, National Guard's for. And that's what they're going to take care of. Why is it so important to have in the private, in the nonprofit sector organizations, like yours? And you're not the only one. There are other organizations that specialize in different things that go down work in tandem. Why is it so important to have this multifaceted approach of nonprofit and government and others in a situation like this?
Well, you're absolutely right. The government actually relies on the Red Cross and all of these partner entities to do what we do during these types of disasters, so they don't have to. So when Red Cross is there and we're setting up shelters, that means that's one less thing that the government does not need to do. And for example, other feeding organizations, Southern Baptist, different groups like that are really key in actually coming in and actually setting up large kitchens and providing food. So all of those pieces are just so important in a situation like this, because it takes everybody. We really just couldn't do it by ourselves, and government couldn't do it alone. We need all of our partner agencies out there to help out.
So if somebody donates $10, $25, $100, $1,000, does that go? Where does that go? What does that money turn into right now?
If you designate it when you go onto the website to go to Hurricane Ian, it will go there. So you can, when you call in or you go on the website or you do the text, you can designate it to go there specifically. And that will just help with ongoing operations there, with providing all of the supplies that the Red Cross has to supply, with making sure we get people there, send them, they're on flights. So there's a lot of expense involved in just getting our people there and having them there for 2 weeks. And of course, this operation will go on for many, many weeks.
Okay, Sharon, let's give out that that contact information and that donation information again real quick before we go.
Okay, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can go to redcross.org on the website, or you can text the word Ian, I-A-N, to 90999 to give $10 to Red Cross.
By the way, it took me 30 seconds to go to redcross.org and donate $50 myself. Will you match me in that? Redcross.org, you can donate directly to Hurricane Ian relief, and I hope that you will. These are our fellow Americans. We got to help them out. All right, the news roundup starts in about 4 minutes. And don't forget, 7:35, we've got Mark Montavani here on the program, and we're going to hear directly from him. How will St. Louis County government and how will the region be different if he is the executive instead of Sam Page? Well, we know it'll be better, but how will it be different? That conversation comes just a little bit later on, but the news roundup just ahead right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Well, as we come into Election Day here, the next, and Ken's got a nice big marker board up there, 35 days until the election. Big decisions to be made. And coming up here this morning on the program, I don't want to say top three things, because there are so many important things, but three of the more important things and three of the more interesting things that we're going to be discussing today. Mark Montavani back on the show today, going to be on the program at 7:35. And we know that he's not Sam Page. We know that he's better than Sam Page. That's not the issue. But I was talking to his folks the other day, and they said, well, what do you want to talk about? And I never give people the questions that I ask before a discussion. I just want them to be real and organic conversations. But I said, let's actually talk about governance and how county government would change if he were elected. So I said, that's what we're going to talk about. We don't have to keep going over Sam Page's, tyranny. This conversation is about Mark Montavani and what he would bring to the county if he's elected.
And the conversation is also about us voting. And that's, Mike, the reason why we put up that the days left until we vote. I was talking with our fearless leader, Tony, and he said, yeah, we need to put that up there and let everybody know we have this many days, every single day, until the time is for us to vote.
35, and at some point, the early voting may be starting, too. So if somebody's into that, you can go do that probably pretty quick. Maybe now, for all I know. But you might be able to do that as well if you don't want to deal with all the lines or all that sort of thing. So right. Mark Montavani, 7:35. By the way, if you have a question you want me to ask him, if you are streaming and watching us on Rumble, you can put it in the chat box. If you are watching us on Facebook, you can put that in the comments. If you can tweet it at us at News Talk STL as well. We are also on YouTube. Just look up Mike Ferguson in the morning, because they won't let News Talk STL on YouTube anymore. But for the moment, we're on. But
Shows are on.
Yeah, I'll see it quickly on the Rumble chat box. That's where I tend to watch, and then Gabe will watch the Facebook stuff as well. Also, this morning, a St. Charles County leader calling on changes in St. Louis City and in St. Louis County, specifically when it comes to crime and prosecution. And by the way, did you get that email from the RNC regarding voter turnout? Did you get that email?
I think so.
You did?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't, but check your spam folder. Maybe it's there.
Oh, okay.
Turns out that Google is spam canning a bunch of those. All right.
Really?
A couple extra things here. FEMA extending the deadline to apply for disaster relief if you were affected by those July flash floods. New deadline is now November 7th. You can learn more at disasterassistance.gov. Just a quick heads up. Here's an interesting situation. Very quietly, the CDC eliminating another one of its pandemic recommendations. Fox News' Ted Lindner explains.
CDC announced Monday they're dropping its country-by-country COVID travel health notices that began back in early 2020 as the pandemic was taking hold. The agency saying the reason for the change is fewer countries are testing for the virus or reporting the number of COVID-19 cases and thus limiting the CDC's ability to calculate travelers' risk. The CDC still recommends that travelers remain up to date on vaccines and follow recommendations found on its international travel page. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
Hey, here's a fun fact. I bet you didn't see this in the news. The CDC quietly dropped its recommendations that masks be required in medical settings. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
You did not know that?
No.
Because the No News News decided not to cover that. But anytime a doctor's office or a hospital says, well, we're following CDC recommendations, no, you're not. They dropped it, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. The CDC no longer recommends masks be required in those settings at all.
Interesting. I go to the doctor today, and I'll find out and see what they say.
Yep, exactly. So, and you can, I would Google search the story. You can find it if you dig deep enough.
Hand them a copy.
There you go. Say, no, even the discredited CDC has admitted that this is not not recommended or useful anymore.
Okay.
They say, unless there's super high transmission. Right. Okay. So, but yeah, the CDC does not recommend, not even recommending masks in medical settings anymore.
All right.
There you go. Let's see here. What else is going on here? Okay, yeah, we'll get to this at 6:05. St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman asking the state government to come in and make some changes in St. Louis City, basically take over the police department again. Also making some recommendations for St. Louis County and St. Louis City. So that's not going over real well with folks in the city. And I suspect some of the county saying, hey, you mind your own business in St. Charles County there, dude. And he's saying, it is my business because you can't get crime under control. Guess where it's spilling over?
Yeah.
So we'll start that conversation at 6:05. Albert Pujols did what Albert Pujols does. He hit home run number 703 in Pittsburgh last night. And actually, that now puts him in second place all-time history for runs batted in. He was tied with a guy named George Herman Ruth, otherwise known as Babe Ruth. So he is now number two all time in history now for runs batted in. The Cardinals ended up losing 3-2. The same two teams play tonight. That game starts at 5:35. And you say, why 5:35? Because nobody cares about the game anymore. So they're just sticking it in the middle of the day. This is a rainout makeup anyway. All right, just ahead, let's talk crime. St. Charles County, St. Louis County, just ahead.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.